yang kata dari segala yang ku ucap. Ku jelang pagi ini nikmati damai di hati dalam waktu penuh arti karena aku dicintai. Ku ingat kemarin suasana tak bersemangat, namun kini ku jalani dan semua rasanya tepat. Bersama kita coba wujudkan harapan, membuka jalan dalam gapai dan tujuan.
Matahari bersinar selalu, ini yang ku minta penuh sama.
Here is the news. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno urged regional heads to strengthen synergy with the central government in building quality and resilient human resources. The statement was delivered while providing material at the second phase of regional head retreat activities held at the Institute of Public Administration on Wednesday. Pratikno affirmed that all the developed countries push progress through human resources development. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced that 11 Indonesian nationals evacuated from Iran have arrived in Jakarta, with another 48 expected to return on Wednesday. Yuda Nugraha, the Ministry's Director for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens, on Wednesday conveyed that the return of 11 Indonesian evacuees from Iran to Jakarta on June 24th will be followed by the arrival of 48 others along with one foreign national. That's the news.
Yakinlah kau tetap punyaku. sering kau buang air mataku. Tak pernah kau tahu dalamnya rasa cintaku. Tak banyak inginku, jangan kau ulangi menyakiti aku sesuka kelakuanmu. Ku bukan manusia yang tidak berpikir, berulang kali kau lakukan itu padaku. Jika cinta cinta dia. Jujurlah padaku, tinggalkan aku di sini tanpa senyumanmu. Jika cinta dia, ku coba mengerti, mungkin kau bukan cinta sejati di
Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of cliffs jutting into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holidays in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karanghawu beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karanghawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove. So this beach is named Karanghawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliffs that jut into the sea is Nyai Roro Kidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karanghawu Beach. The view of the high seas until the big waves hitting the rocks is a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine is a fun activity on this beach.
Kamu dengar dari jauh, ada dari jauh, kamu. tahu Aceh. Kita naman kahete yang sobat tujuh tipuran.
Nikmat apa kita hidup di NTT?
Talking about cultural treasures, no doubt, Indonesia with its various tribes in the archipelago is scented with its diversities of cultural treasure, whether it is still preserved or perhaps has already gone. Swallowed by age is one of the richest. With its vast and fertile land, agriculture is the dominant sector in Indonesia, and of course, it is expected to sustain the economy of the state. Rice plants are included the most favored sector in Indonesia. Because rice is the staple food for most of Indonesian people, including in Natuna Regency, Riau Island Province. The district sea waters is bigger than its land area. About 97% comprises of the sea, while the land is only 3%. So small wonder that its agricultural prospects are not remarkable. The agricultural sector has not been managed optimally, since most people lived from sea products, such as becoming fishermen, while the sprawling paddy fields are only cultivated by small proportions of farmers. There is a unique tradition in Natuna Regency when farmers begin to harvest rice. It is called alugain, which is pounding rice grain to produce rice chips. So it is actually the process of making rice chips. Alugain is done by some farmers in time for rice harvest by using some simple devices, namely a half-meter-sized wooden mortar, some pestles or rice pounders made of ironwood with different sizes. The size is not without meaning anyway. There are certain sizes that produce sound notation. Furthermore, a furnace with wood fuel is also prepared to roast the newly harvested rice that has been pounded into chips. This alugain is conducted from noon until late at night, can even be held up to several days. After a lot of chips have been produced, it's time for the woman to gather the waste of chips making. It is then put into a bowl, added with some grated coconut, brown sugar, and poured with a little hot water. A delicious dish is all ready to be enjoyed together. Listener, perhaps you are curious as to what kinds of sound the alu or rice pounder can make. Well, let's listen to the following then. Listener, to learn more about alugain when rice harvest times arrives, let's find out from a community leader who is also an alugain specialist, Haji Kamaini.
So according to the story, the origin of alugain was a man who was deliberately left in the woods by his brothers because he had an incurable disease for quite a long time. While left alone in the woods, the man created a game and some songs to fill in the time and forget his loneliness. So that it's how the first alugain was created. Then he met three people who were looking for rattan. They worked for the king in Natuna. Upon questioning the man, told them that he had been deliberately dumped by his family and he had created the game and and the sound. The three men then returned to the king and told him that there was a very nice sound in the forest that they have never heard before. Then they brought the king and his warriors to the forest where he heard the sounds. He ordered his men to take the man from the woods and bring him home. Thus the king of Alu was created.
Nah, didengar di dalam hutan, maka dibawalah raja serta hulu badangnya di dalam hutan. Maka bertemulah ia dengan bunyi-bunyian itu tadi. Oleh raja itu tadi, maka dibawalah orang yang dipisahkan di dalam hutan tadi, dibawa pulang ke rumahnya. Maka diciptalah sekarang ini yang dinamakannya Alu.
As the time goes by, Haji Kamaini said, the Alu game is getting more growing. Previously, the game was done by one person, but currently there are 7 pounders for each performance.
Itu permainan sebenarnya kalau Alu itu tadi permainannya di
dalam. Originally there was only one pounder with one person. Now there are 7 person with 7 pounders, one for each player. So all in all, there are one motor with 7 pounders consist of 4 big ones and 3 small ones. Alu game now has become our inheritance for generations. It's for our ancestor. So it has been passed down, not just 1, 2, 3, or 4 generations.
According to Haji Kamaini, Alu game should be preserved so it will never be lost. According to him, the number of songs in the game was not 2, 3, or 4 songs, but 12. Haji Kamaini hopes the government will help in preserving it so the Alu Emping Padi or rice chips pounder game culture will continue to exist. Hopefully, the Alu game played when the rice harvest comes will continue and remain stable in the society, not disappear in time and swallowed by modernization. Hopefully, the sound of Alu pounder on the mortar when the rice harvest time comes will continue to be heard in Natuna.
Semat rantai pasiran putih berkilau cahaya Mbak Mutiara tersemat rantai Gunung ranai berkabut awan tinggi menjulang jenguk negeri Kabut awan tinggi menjulang jenguk negeri Hidup pun damai satukan budaya Raup rezeki anugerah ilahi Hidup pun damai satukan budaya Raup rezeki anugerah ilahi Rantau nan indah, rantau Natuna Letaknya nun jauh di utara Terkenal di seluruh dunia Laut sakti rantau bertua bersanding di pangkuan bonde. Anambas dan Pulau Siantan duduk bersanding di pangkuan bonde. Putrinya cantik berbudi bahasa, melipur lara di lautan Cina. Putrinya cantik berbudi bahasa, melipur lara di lautan Cina. Rantaunan indah, rantau Natuna, letaknya nun jauh di utara. Terkenal di seluruh dunia, laut sakti rantau bertua. Rantaunan indah, rantau Natuna, letaknya nun jauh di utara. Terkenal di seluruh dunia,
of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song from the province of West Sumatra titled Mudiak Arau. The song Mudiak Arau was composed by Aji Sutan Sati. It tells the poignant story of a woman who faithfully waits for a man returning from his travels. No matter the circumstances or the changes he may have undergone during his time away, she remains steadfast in her love and anticipations. Well, listeners, here is Mudiak Arau performed by Nurul Fadila Hamid. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, you are still with me, Ahmad Faisal, on Indonesia Today. Well, I do believe that you are still doing your daily activities, but whatever it is, just remember that this must be based on your whole heart, listener. And make it as simply as possible and just make sure that this can be your goodness and this can have a benefit, I mean, for you in order to make your life better than before. Well, it has also, you know, something to do with your goodness, I mean, here. And it has such, you know, the new thing that can make or enable you to step higher on the level or higher level, that this can bring you such, you know, adaptation wherever you are. But by having good, you know, good capacity building, this can also give you such new opportunity, new hope for the sake of having better level of your position. Well, talking about that, this has also something to do with, you know, wise word or quote of the day. That's why I would like to share you the quote of the day now from K.H. Ahmad Dahlan. He said, "Truth is not decided by how many people believe in it." Once again, truth is not decided by how many people believe in it. Kiai Ahmad Dahlan was born in Kauman, Yogyakarta, on 1st August 1868. He was also the founder of an Islamic organization, namely Muhammadiyah. He contributed to building many fundamentals toward the independence of Indonesia from manpower, equal education, health, and even faith. Kiai Haji Ahmad Dahlan also pioneered a modern Islam that is adaptive, dynamic, and progressive.
Aku berangan jauh ke awan. Ku terbang karena terpesona olehmu yang cantik rupawan. Oh, walaupun cintaku ini tak semanis madu, tapi hati ini kan selalu jadi milikmu. Oh, bila engkau ratu lembahku, akankah ku jadi rajamu? Kan ku jaga cinta kita berdua untukmu selalu. Bila suatu hari nanti berdua kita kan pergi, kan ku ajak kau terbang untuk menjemput mentari. Kau menjadi milikku selalu, terdekat dirimu dekat dengan hatiku. Letakkan ku lepas sayang, kau bagaikan sinar mentari bersinar di pagi hari. Terus berlari-lari untuk kejar dirimu sayang. Walau pencintaku ini tak semanis madu, tapi hati ini jadi milikmu. Bila engkau ratu lembahku,
suatu hari nanti berdua kita akan pergi. Kan ku ajak kau terbang untuk menyambut mentari.
Katakanlah sayapmu terbanglah tinggi dan bawalah hati ini bersamamu. Bila kau akan terbang pergi jauh bersamamu.
Walau cintaku ini tak semanis madu, tapi hati ini kan selalu jadi milikmu. Jaga cinta kita berdua untukku selalu. Bila suatu hari nanti berdua kita akan pergi, kan ku ajak kau terbang untuk menyambut mentari.
I take this herbal drink not only now. The first time I gave birth, I took this herbal drink. It's been a long time, but I continue drinking it from vendors. I'd have a special mixture just made from glitter, galangal, turmeric, and betel leaf. That was Canang, a woman from Bogor, who has been living in Jakarta for long. Although living in a big city like Jakarta, the 54-year-old woman believes that drinking herbal medicine is very important for maintaining health. The habit of drinking herbal medicine derived from her parents, and she is still doing it up to now. Not only limited to healthcare, Canang even believes herbs can cure certain diseases. Yes, in my village, a lot of my relatives drink this herbal drink. When they just give birth to a baby, they always take herbal drink. In fact, if my children are unwell, having allergies or nausea, I tell them to take some herbal drink from the vendor. Their father also likes it. As far as I know, turmeric has many efficacies, very good to cure indigestion and leukorrhea. I'd say it is not only for spices or seasoning when you cook something. When anybody asks me to make a herbal drink, I always grind some head of turmeric. Thank God, it always works. Along with the passage of time, advances in science and technology seem to eclipse people's belief on the efficacy of traditional or herbal medicine, as disclosed by Mrs. Audi. Yes, it seems good. People in Indonesia have known about herbal medicine since a long time ago. But I myself am not a fan of herbal medicine. I mean those sold by vendors who carry the bottles around, because I doubt about the hygiene. So if I want to take it, a simple herbal drink like a mixture of turmeric and tamarind, I'll make it myself. But I have more confidence on herbal drinks or medicines manufactured in big factories, probably because the cleanliness is well controlled. People in the past did not have many drugs, only the ancient medicines, the traditional herbal. So they had to look for medicines from nature, mostly in the forest. People in the past did not have many drugs, only the ancient medicines, the traditional herbal. So they had to look for medicines from nature, mostly in the forest. So, since when have people begun to recognize and use Indonesian traditional herbs or herbal medicines? Is it an influence from other nations? Paulus Pangka, public relations of a large herbal medicine industry in Indonesia, located in Semarang, said.
Before the Chinese came, Majapahit Kingdom and other kingdoms in Indonesia had already used traditional medicine to cure illness and wound. Also to make the queens look more beautiful, they used traditional medicines, herbs.
The developing of traditional herb in Indonesia could not separate it from abundance of natural wealth owned by the country.
Indonesia has a lot of herbs and plants with best efficacious remedy. In the case of any illness, these plants will definitely be used. Many herbs have special efficacy to cure the illness.
It takes a very long process from generation to generation to get herbal formula, as we find today. Paul explains.
The first was through a dream or revelation. A lot happened in Indonesia or Asia. In general, one could treat the disease because he was prompted or informed in his dream that he is treating the disease with certain plants. The second is the behavior of the animals. We, the example of an animal, if it is having difficult to defecate, then it will eat some grass and the grass turns beneficial to smooth littering. The third is forms or behavior of plants. There are plants in Kalimantan which if planted in the fertile soil, it will not grow at all, but if it is planted in a stone, it will grow up well. The plant turned out to be beneficial for kidney or gallstones, and the fourth is modern technology. So mix them all. Whether the dream can be proven scientifically, then the shape of the plant and animal behavior, as said earlier, go to the lab and do some research about it to find out whether it is actually useful, because not all beneficial to human life. There is definitely a certain substances that are useful for the human body.
Although using products rooted in indigenous cultures of Indonesia, according to Paul, to date, herbal drinks or medicines are only consumed in certain part of the country.
This jamu is circulating mostly in Java and Sumatra. For instance, it has not entered my hometown in Flores yet. Our population is big, 240 million. If everybody takes herbal drink, no need to actually go abroad because our domestic consumers are still quite plenty.
It turns out that the current world developments does not necessarily make people live traditional formula. In fact, since the last few years, many people have been using traditional medicine, or more popularly known as herbal medicines that are considered more natural. Head of the National Commission for Herbal Medicine Scientification, the Ministry of Health, Dr. Siswanto, said,
jamu itu kan istilah untuk obat herbal tapi yang asli Indonesia kan itu namanya jamu.
Jamu is the term for original Indonesian herbal medicine. Yes, it is called jamu. In other countries like in Malaysia, there is also Malaysian herbal medicines. In China, it is called traditional Chinese medicine. It means Chinese herbal medicines. So it's pretty much the same. They have herbal-based remedies or medicines. Every country also considers herbal medicines differently. Such as in the United States, for example, they are just incorporated in food supplement. So it is not in the FDA jurisdiction. Then in Europe, some herbal or traditional medicine is taken care by the FDA.
Herbal itu ada sebagian yang diurus oleh artinya dalam jurisdiksi FDA.
People in Indonesia have been consuming traditional herbal medicine for generations. Then, how is jamu when viewed from the health or medical side? Siswanto explains.
Jamu yang dalam pengertian tradisional itu kan sudah banyak dipakai di
masyarakat. Jamu in the traditional sense has been widely used for generations to maintain health and to treat minor ailments, and it should remain that way. And we always maintain that culture. But on the other hand, if you want to use for health care in terms of medical jamu that can be used by doctors, it should have a scientific evidence as said earlier. All doctors certainly have their criterion for therapeutic modality in this herbal medicine. Therefore, jamu that can be used is the one that has already had evidence and been clinically tested.
Uji klinis begitu.
In order that jamu can be used widely in the community with a quality that can be accounted for, the policymakers have made some effort, as described by Siswanto.
First, we tried to construct the body of knowledge, a sort of knowledge tree on Indonesian traditional medicines, which actually are rather different from modern medicines. So from there, we then formulated methodology to commit some sort of specific clinical tests for herbal medicine, which is slightly different from modern medicine. Because modern medicine is a single, say, paracetamol, it contains paracetamol only, yes, but jamu consists of various herbs right mixed with different types of plants. Each plant also contains a lot of components. That's why we set up a different method of clinical tests. Through empirical evidence in our people, we conduct the clinical tests of phase 2 and 3. We have done two formulas that have been clinically tested. First, herbal medicine for gout. Then the second is the formula for lowering blood pressure or hypertension. The research has not only been done by the Herbal Certification Agency, but also by other research institutions such as universities and others.
It is not impossible that jamu, as an ancestral heritage of Indonesia, can be combined with modern medical treatment.
Cita-cita kita, jamu ini mau kita angkat. Makanya ada program namanya Santikasi.
Our ideals, we want to lift up this jamu. So there is a program called Santification Herbal Medicine, right? Well, in the future, this jamu can actually go through two ways. Jamu that has, say, clinical evidence that can treat up to phase 3 clinical tests, and then the POM agency agrees. Well, it could go in the medical world, but jamu within the traditional sense, that is, to maintain health and so on, will be directed towards jamu for maintaining health. We are working to build a separate profession from physicians or medical profession called on traditional Indonesian penyehat or healer or health care. This is still an idol and ambition.
Although it is still limited, the development of herbal medicine in the country has been making progress. Siswanto once again said.
Tadi sudah saya sampaikan bahwa
I told you this jamu does not have any such evidence yet, so doctors would mind if they are being asked to use it directly. To make such a breakthrough, now traditional medicine clinics have been opened in various hospitals which allow herbal medicines, but still within the framework of research. So it's called research-based service. What does it mean? Well, use herbal medicine if you want, but please, it is still in the corridor of research. And this already exists in several hospitals in Indonesia.
particularly hospitals under the health ministry.
Today's edition of Traditional Song on Music Corner presents a song from West Sumatra entitled Kampuang Nan Jauh di Mato. The song was composed by Oslan Hussein in 1931. The lyrics describe the story of someone's longing for his hometown. This song also tells the character of Minangkabau people or native West Sumatra people who are kind and like to work together. A feeling of longing emerges when he remembers his hometown. His family seems to call him home. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from West Sumatra, Kampuang Nan Jauh di Mato by Esther. Happy listening!